Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I love John's account of the Christmas story. It's half of a verse. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Thus ends the Christmas story. John is well known for his poetic language and a lot of the imagery he uses. He is not known for this part of Jesus' story. We read Luke 2 last night. We read Matthew 1 last night. We heard the Gospels telling the story of Jesus' birth. So today, we turn to John, and we turn to the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word. How many of you have read a book that just seemed to come to life? That in your imagination, it just took on a life of its own, or read something and the words just kind of jumped off the page. We use phrases like that, where the words jump off the page. It seems that the book itself comes to life. Now, there are a lot of movies that have taken books and brought them to life, but I've always found that it has nothing in comparison to my own imagination. No matter how good the special effects are, it just can't compare with what my mind is creating as I'm reading the books. I haven't read a lot of books for pleasure in the last couple of years. I had other things going on, but the ones that I do read are very incredibly imaginative, and they just happen to spring to life. Two of my favorites that I read over and over and over again, I probably won't ever stop reading them, of course, are Alice in Wonderland, or Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, and the original Winnie the Pooh. Both of those really just, I don't know what it is about those two books, but my imagination and my connection with the characters is just so rich and so deep. I love those books. You might think they're kids' books, but if you've ever read the originals, they're anything but kids' books. We sort of sanitize them, and I know Winnie the Pooh is very innocent, but the reading and the writing of Winnie the Pooh is not something that, you know, little kids are going to understand a whole lot. But there's such rich imagination. The words come to life. In John chapter 1, starting at verse 1, the Word comes to life. Not in an imaginative sort of way, not in a way that's limited by analogy and metaphor and our own imaginations, but in truth, in flesh, in life and light. This is the Christmas story, according to John. The Word, who is identified as God, who is identified as Jesus, comes to life. John tells us the backstory of the Word. Jesus, or Luke and Matthew don't tell us a whole lot of the backstory, but John tells us the backstory of the Word, of Jesus. And the backstory is that he's always been there. Since the very beginning, the Word was there. The Word was there with God. The Word there was there as God. The Word was God. The Word was there from the very beginning of creation. We talk about in Genesis how God speaks a word and light happens. He speaks a word and water happens. He speaks a word and land and animals and plants and stars and the sun and the moon and all of the planets, all of creation comes into existence through a word. A word. Capital W, word. Not simply a word of language, but a word of flesh and blood in Jesus. John says that everything was created through him, and I love the way he says it, and you can read multiple translations there. None of them are any clearer. He says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Just so you were understanding. If you look around and see creation, you know that creation didn't come to an existence by itself. Automatically, it came into existence through Christ, through the Word spoken and the Word living. That's Jesus. And through that word was life, it says. Verse 4, there was life, and that life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John's beautiful language to describe that Jesus comes to bring life and light into a dark and lifeless world. Paul will talk about how we are dead in our trespasses. We are dead in our sins, and yet in Christ we are brought to life. And it's because the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It's because the Word became life and living with us that we have life. And it's because the Word spoke light into existence, it's because the Word brings light into the world, that we can see the darkened places, the places around us that are still covered in sin, still trying to stay hidden. And around us in the world, yes, but also in here, those dark places in our own hearts where we really don't want to spend a whole lot of time. And we really would rather not ever see the light of day, but the darkness cannot overcome the light of Christ. So Jesus comes to shine light, not only as life into the world, but life into our hearts, to shine his light on our sinfulness and our sin in our hearts, to enlighten and enliven them. The Word becomes flesh to bring us to life, to bring us out of death, out of darkness, out of the domain of the evil one, into light and life and into the kingdom of God. This is what Christmas is about. This is why the Word was made flesh in the form of Jesus as an infant lowly laid in a manger by gentle Mary. Because the Word brings life. John continues that the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, but the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. And this is sort of the problem that Jesus encounters. By becoming the Word made flesh, by becoming one with us, he comes into a world that does not want him. He comes into a world, even at that time, that would deny the Creator, that would say, no, this is not how it's supposed to be. In other words, God, you're supposed to stay up there. You're supposed to stay out there. You're supposed to stay away from here. You're not supposed to come in to your creation. And that's exactly what Jesus does. And the world says, we don't want it. And all through the life of Christ, you can read the Gospels, and at every turn, Jesus is encountering struggle, and he's encountering resistance, and he's encountering people that don't want him here, and that has not changed. The world around us still resists Christ. Still says, we don't want him here. We don't want God here. We don't want God in the flesh in particular here, because then that means we have to admit a whole lot of stuff that we don't want to admit, because if it's God in the flesh, in this world with us, then we've got literally hell to pay for what we do. This is a struggle. The world still resists. The world still will not receive Christ. But he says here in John, he says, but those who do, those who are brought into Christ through faith, the incredible gift that we're given when we're brought out of darkness and into the marvelous light of God, when we're brought out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God, then there is a gift that comes with it. The gift of being brought out of that darkness is that we have the right to become children of God. Children of God. Not just children of our parents. Not just children of our community. Not just children of our upbringing. Not just children of our culture and heritage. But children of God. The eternal God. That Word that was made flesh. We get to become children with him. With the one who brings us out of darkness, with the one who rules in the kingdom of God, we get to become children with him. Now, I don't know about you, but that's an incredible gift that we certainly don't deserve. We don't have the will to become children on our own. We don't have any sort of calling or heritage to say, yes, we're already God's children. We certainly don't come from any sort of holy existence. We are sinners in need of the light of God. We're sinners in need of Jesus and his forgiveness. And here's the Christmas story. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. That word flesh is an interesting one because literally translated, it means meat. And not meat as in I meet somebody, meat as in the steak you put on the grill, meat. Jesus becomes meat, flesh, and bone, and blood, and muscle, and organs, and all of the things that come with becoming human, he becomes that. The Word, the creator of the universe, the Word that was spoken to create light and separate the darkness, the Word that did all of the things throughout the history of the people of Israel, now comes as meat, as subject to the world. And not only that, but was born as the weakest, the smallest, the lowliest, the little tiny child. If anyone were at risk, it was him. If anyone were subject to the struggles of the world and the environment that he was born into, it was him. His parents were not rich. His parents were not kings and queens. His parents were not somehow affluent that could afford all of the finest things. The dad, Joseph, was a construction worker, a contractor by trade, or carpenter, if you want to sort of reduce it. And Mary was only maybe 15 years old, 16 years old, somewhere around there. Now tell me, if God, creator of the universe, chooses that family to come into, imagine. Imagine what God, the creator of the universe, can do in you and me. If this is the way he chooses to appear, this is the way he chooses to take on meat in this tiny, tiny way, imagine what he brings with him. John goes on to say that we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Christ comes into the world as the Word made flesh, full. We talk about this word full in Paul's letters, that in the fullness of time, in the completeness, in the wholeness, Jesus comes as an infant, baby, complete and whole with grace and truth. Now the rest of mankind is not born with grace and truth. The rest of mankind, all of us, were not born with glory and life and light. We were not born that way. We were born in darkness. We were born in sin. This is what we bring into the world. And yet here comes Christ, fully God, fully man, full of grace and truth and glory and light. This is what Christ brings into the world. This is why it's so important for us to be in his presence, to be received by him in faith in the waters of baptism through the hearing of his word, because without Christ, there is no light, there is no life, there is no glory, there is no grace, there is no truth. Without Jesus, there's none of that. And mankind is lost. But because on that Christmas, the Word became flesh, he brings those gifts to you, and to me, and to the whole world. John concludes, from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. It's a very strange phrase. You could say we receive gracious grace, or the graciousness of grace. It's sort of a redundant phrase, but it simply means, in the way that John writes, that it's double stacked. It's like not just one layer of grace, but all of the layers of grace. Every one of them. And that grace means that we live our lives in that light of Christ. That grace means that we don't worry about the darkness. We don't get concerned about a distance between us and God. We don't get concerned that the world isn't receiving Christ because he has received us. He has received us. The law was given through Moses. Yes, we all know the law. We run aground of it all the time. Our sinfulness runs aground of the law every turn. And yet, through Christ, grace and truth. Through Christ, we hear the word of truth. That is, we are sinful human beings in need of a Savior, and we hear of grace that Jesus came as that Savior for you and for me. And so when we gather on this Christmas day, we celebrate not only Christmas Day, the birth of Christ, but we celebrate the Word made flesh. And then today, as we come to the altar once again, we celebrate the Word made flesh, that flesh, body, and blood of Christ given and shed for us, that meat that Jesus becomes the flesh of life for us. This is where it's all at. The life that Christ gives us, he gives us into our very own hands today. As we come to the table, he says, this is my body. This is my flesh and blood that was shed for you on the cross. This is it. This is the light of life given to you in your very own hands. So, I mean, your hands. Your own hands. It may be rough and calloused. Maybe a little bent out of shape because of arthritis and other things that may be weak because of age or because of muscle concern, whatever that it may be, your hands are those hands that today receive the life of Christ in you. Amen. And now may that fullness of grace upon grace, that fullness of grace and truth be with us now and always. Amen.